And welcome back to the Sports Ticket here on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com and Z96.3 The Lake. We're joined now by Brent Maycock, who covers high school sports for the Topeka Capital Journal. Does a wonderful job. I know Brent for quite some time, and Brent is trying to stay on top of what's happening in our state. Especially yesterday was a lot to try to decipher, and he's here to help break it down and help us understand it a little bit better. Brent, my friend, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, trying to stand atop a slippery slope, that's for sure.
Oh, no question about it. What a crazy 2020. It seems, and I'm sure it feels the same way to you, but when I start looking at this timeline when everything went crazy, which was March 13th, and I was, I know you were covering state basketball in Hutchinson, and I was as well, and it seems like that was 2 years ago when state basketball abruptly was stopped. And yet, you look at it today, it was just over 4 months ago. It really wasn't as long ago as you think.
It does seem like it was an eternity ago. I mean, it was crazy how that all came down and ended so abruptly and just broke the hearts of so many kids across the states and parents and family members and classmates and everything. And, you know, for that to end the way it did and then just to have no spring sports to kind of bridge that gap to the summer and to the next year, it was just totally a totally weird, totally surreal time, for sure.
What did you do to fill all that time? Because obviously your schedule not as full if there's no spring sports and finishing state tournaments when you work at the Capital Journal.
Well, my yard looks a lot better than it normally does. But
no weeds?
you know, I did. I tried to do some. We started a series at the Cap Journal called the Spring Senior Salute, and we twice a week I'd pick a one male and one female, and we'd do a little feature on somebody that was probably going to have a pretty good spring in different sports. We tried to, you know, spread it out through different sports. So we did track, we did softball, we did baseball, we did golf, you know, did tennis, did try to do about everything. And so Rick Peterson, my colleague here at the Cap Journal, and I, we each did two a week for every week of the spring sports season, leading all the way up to what would have been the state championship week. And then I did a lot of news stories. You know, I became a more well-rounded reporter, I guess you would call it. Did a lot of different stories to help the news side out because obviously there was still so much else going on with COVID-related and stories along those lines. So we pitched in on the news side as well. So did a little sports, did a little news, and did a little yard work.
Hey, whatever you got to do to keep busy and to have a job, right? Keep the paycheck.
Exactly. Oh, and homeschooling. We have two kids in elementary school, and so my wife took one of the kids' work, and I did the other one, and we did that every day as well. So
yeah, a lot of us were in that boat, no doubt. Hopefully, we don't have to do that again, but we shall see. Brent Maycock from the Topeka Capital Journal, covering high school sports and multidimensional, as he just explained, joining us here on the Sports Ticket. All right, so yesterday, lots to decipher, lots to put our arms around. First of all, the Kansas State Board of Education not affirming the order for Governor Kelly, a 5-5 vote. And they needed six yeses to make that a reality to delay school till after Labor Day, which does not mean that schools can't start after Labor Day. It just means that schools now have the authority, in essence, to, you know, do whatever they truly want to do. And then, of course, the next shoe to drop was, how's Keisha going to handle everything? And you were following this yesterday, and kind of give us a synopsis of what Keisha decided to do after meeting and going over so many different things after that vote came down from the Kansas Board of Education.
Well, you know, the first thing I want to say is I think both parties got it right. There's been a lot of backlash with the Kansas Board of Education on not go ahead and ratifying Laura Kelly's executive order, but this state is such a different animal. You have, you know, areas of high population in the Kansas City metro area and the Wichita area, and then some pockets here and there, Topeka and things like that, where opening before Labor Day may not be feasible, and as we're seeing, isn't going to be feasible. A lot of schools in the school districts in the Kansas City area have already announced they're pushing back their start until after Labor Day. But there's also a large number of schools in the state where opening on as normal is the right thing to do, or is a feasible thing to do. And I think if these school districts and school boards did their homework all summer and kept their finger on the pulse of what their, you know, their community, their county, and their constituents thought, and then came up with a plan, then they were ready to open as needed or when needed. So I think leaving it up to the individual districts, individual counties was a good idea. I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but me personally, I don't mind seeing kids go back to school after Labor Day. When I grew up down in Branson, we never went to school before Labor Day. We always had the entire month of August for a summer, and I think, you know, children's summers anymore become basically 2.5 months, and it seems like such a short time when you get into summer, and I like having a little bit longer summer, so I'm not even against a start after Labor Day. And then, you know, once that decision was made by the State Board of Education, I thought Keisha did the right thing. I thought, mm-hmm. you know, let's not take an immediate knee-jerk reaction to what just happened. Let's go ahead and see how school districts across the state are going to respond and react and what their plans are. And so let's take a look and see what the state's going to look like in terms of schools reopening and in the suburban areas and in the rural areas. And then once we get that information, then we can go ahead and maybe try to formulate a plan that's best for everybody.
It's kind of interesting how people lose their minds. I'm sure you've seen this on social media or wherever else. And this is what's really cracked me up. And I had a lot of fun with it a little while ago before we had you on, building up a little bit and making fun of people a little bit too. And that is, so Governor Kelly talks about, you know, waiting till after Labor Day. And I agree with you. I'm a proponent. I said that right away. I'm like, dude, I always said we should start after Labor Day. When I was a student, as a parent, because I agree with you, the summers are too short. It's always really hot in August anyway. We always started like 2 weeks ahead of some schools in Western Kansas when I was growing up back in the 80s and then early 90s. And so there was a space where schools started all over the place in August. And in some cases, they started in September. And this is what's really, really cracks me up is there are people out there now, just because the governor talked about waiting till after Labor Day. And then I see all these comments like, oh, my God, what are the schools going to do now? It's just going to be chaos. The schools can start whenever they want, and they're not going to be within a day or two of each other. I'm like, where you been? It's never been that way. Schools have always been able to choose when they want to start school. If it's August 13th, if it's August 27th, if it's after Labor Day. I mean, it doesn't. Well, how are we going to do this with sports practices? Well, guess what? You can still have sports practices without school being in session. And it's amazing how people just lost their minds and don't understand or even think, hey, what happened last year? Nothing really changed from that regard, did it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, I grew up down in Branson where your high school students were the workforce for businesses in Branson and the surrounding communities down there, and you just couldn't send those kids back to school before Labor Day because businesses need those kids to work. Silver Dollar City, you know, music shows, all that kind of stuff. So we always had football practice for 2 weeks before we ever even thought about going to school. We had two-a-days, sometimes three-a-days.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just how it was. We always had practices before school started, and sometimes we even had games before school even started. And I've always thought it was kind of weird when I got to Kansas, and they're like, well, school's starting the same day practice starts. And I'm like, are you serious? I mean, that's asking kids to really put a lot on their plate at once. You know, hey, try to fit in football practice or a cross-country practice or a volleyball practice in the morning, go to school, and then go back and go to practice again. I mean, let's let them breathe a little bit. Maybe let these athletic programs not be confined to certain parameters for their initial practices, and where you can get a lot more work done, a lot more conditioning done, and not just completely wear these kids out right off the bat.
As other people on social media putting, they think that you can't have, and it goes along what you just said. Well, if we don't have school till September, then we can't practice till September. No, there's no rule that says you can't practice before school starts. And there's also no rule, as far as I know, where you can't have athletic competitions or events before school starts. And yet it seems like because of an order that was issued by the governor that she wanted to go through, everybody just lost sight of everything and thinks everything has to start at the same time. No, that was actually the governor wanting to because of a situation we have. But really, from the standpoint of the school districts and their school boards, nothing has changed because of the vote by the Kansas Board of Education yesterday in regards to determining when you're going to start school. And there, if Keisha says August 17th, you're going to start practice, the schools can still decide, hey, we're not starting practice. We got some cases out here. We're going to start August 24th. That'll be their choice to be at a competitive disadvantage if they start a week later because they choose safety over that competitive advantage. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. And everything you've heard from Governor Kelly and everything I heard on the Board of Education meeting yesterday, athletics did not get brought up once. It was all about in-person schooling, in-class schooling, and being able to have these buildings and teachers prepared for a mass number of students to be coming back into the buildings. That's what the entire discussion, and I think a lot of the entire argument is about, is just getting all these people in confined spaces at one time and being ready to do that or not. And athletics was never once broached. And, you know, we've had workouts all summer across Kansas. And obviously, you know, summer workouts for football are going to be much different than actual practice for football, where there's a lot more contact. You know, your summer workouts is typically very little contact, if any at all, and things like that. But, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, athletics outside, most of your fall sports are outside activities. Volleyball would be the only sport that would be held inside. Everything else is an outside sport. Golf is one sport that hasn't been affected by COVID hardly at all. It's, you know, it for the longest time, it was about the only thing you could go do is go play golf, because golf courses were open across the state. You know, tennis, very minimal contact there. The ball is about the only thing where you come in contact with the person you're playing against. Cross country, you know, you have mass starts, but once athletes get on the course, they're kind of off on their own too. So, you know, athletics and schooling are kind of two separate things, even though they kind of go hand in hand. They're still kind of two separate entities.
I agree with you. Brent Maycock of the Topeka Capital Journal, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Okay, before we get to what Keisha's plan is and what they're doing with surveys and all that, I want to ask you this question. I've had a few people ask me about it. I've thought about it as well. And I'm guessing you have a little bit more insight to this than we do. So I'm just curious. But the governor last week, I don't want to make this political at all, but the governor did say last week, when it was asked about high school athletics, or sports in general, she mentioned something about flipping the seasons, and I'm pretty sure she mentioned Keisha in that statement. But yet Bill Fafelick, the executive director, has been noted on record as saying, we don't think that's the way to go. We're really adverse to that. And yesterday there was a board member on Keisha's board of directors that said, that's not even under consideration of flipping seasons, where football goes to spring and stuff from spring goes to the fall. And I think I found that very interesting, because I have a source that tells me that Keisha was really somewhat, if not completely, blindsided by that conference by the governor last week, because they really didn't know that it was coming, because, of course, on Friday last week, they were going to come out with their plan or some guidelines. So give me that dynamic, because it does seem to me like there was some lack of communication, or maybe Keisha being irked a little bit by not knowing what really was coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, you know, I don't fully know if that blindsided them or not, because I know when Keisha had a Zoom meeting, it was kind of in mid-July, I think it was, or it was a few weeks ago, when the rumor came out that on July 15th, Keisha was going to cancel the fall sports season. So they had a Zoom meeting where media members could chime in and talk to the members of the Keisha office and talk about it. And one of the things that was asked there was about flipping seasons. And at that point, you know, they said they were going to kind of try to look at all alternatives that they could for holding sports and things like that. And, you know, California obviously has already flipped football to the spring, and some other states have approached the same idea. I know Michigan, I believe, mm-hmm. was one that really originally talked about flipping the seasons and was a real big proponent of that. And so I think it's something they considered, and my guess is, and it's strictly a guess because I haven't talked to them about it, is that they just decided that really wasn't a feasible way to go, and so that they kind of took that off their plate. And you know, Laura Kelly may have been reacting to, because it was the Michigan governor that suggested Michigan flip its sports season, mm-hmm. and so she might have kind of reacted to, hey, here's what another governor is doing, so right. Maybe that's something we should consider. And I don't know how much, you know, contact there is between the governor's office and Keisha. I know Keisha, you know, talks to everybody. They talk to the superintendents. They talk to athletic directors, those organizations. They talk to the governor's office. I mean, you have governor appointees to their board of directors. So there is obviously communication going on between Kasia and the governor's office. So I don't know that it really, my guess is that it really didn't catch them blindsided that she would say that, but my guess is that they had done their research and done their work and had kind of taken that off the board as something they wanted to pursue.
Were they surprised, you think, about the order to wait till after Labor Day, or do you think they got wind of that?
I don't know. I think that one might have caught them off guard because they had a proposal ready to go last week when the announcement was made, and all of a sudden it was like, okay, we have to pump our brakes here. So I don't think they were expecting that to come necessarily. Now, they may have heard that, hey, this could be a possibility, but I don't know that that was necessarily something that they were fully expecting, because I think if it was something they were fully expecting, they probably would have had another plan in place ready to propose to go forward. Because, I mean, this group that's in there now has done a great job of trying to be as prepared and ready to react to different situations as possible. I know Mark Lentz, the who's in charge of football, has gone over multiple options of what do we do for this football season if we can A, have it, or B, if we have to adjust it and things like that. So I know that group over there has really done a lot of good work in terms of trying to figure out what the best plan is going forward.
I know one thing. I wouldn't want to be in any of these shoes of administrators at schools. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of anybody at the governor's office. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of the Kansas State Board of Education or Kasia. I know people like to point fingers and a lot of times want to make things political, but I respect all of those folks I just referred to that are involved in all these decisions, whether or not you agree or disagree. I do respect them from the standpoint that I'm glad they have to go through all this stuff, and I don't personally, and that sounds like something selfish to say, but I can't imagine the stress that people are under to try to figure all of this out. And on top of that, then you go into teachers, whether or not they feel safe going to school. I mean, it's just a trickle-down effect.
Oh, I agree. I mean, no matter, it's one of those deals where the decision you make is the right decision or the wrong decision, and there's ways to argue both sides of it. And I think you see even households are even divided on exactly how they feel about this certain thing. You know, there's some households out there that probably feel, you know, that, hey, we should push school back, and I'm not ready to send my kid back to school. And then somebody else in the household may feel, well, I think going back is the best thing to do. It's the best way to get back to some kind of normalcy. And so I think, you know, it's a divisive thing, which is not always the best thing because there's so much divisiveness in this country right now anyway, but it's just a hard thing to fall on one side of the fence or the other in terms of who's right, because everybody's right and everybody's wrong. I mean, it's not a black and white issue. No. There's so much gray to this that it's just, it's an unenviable position to be in, to have to make decisions regarding this.
Well, I said 1,000 times before, they're darned if they do and they're darned if they don't.
Absolutely.
The sports recommendations / guidelines that Kasia put out there in regards to not only football but other sports as well, what stood out to you?
You know, I thought for the most part it all made sense. You know, obviously there's all the social distancing and sanitizing and stuff like that. The football stuff I thought was you know, made sense. The huddle thing was kind of an interesting one. You know, what's the big difference between a circle and a line? I guess in a circle, you know, you're facing each other more as opposed to a line. You know, most of the guys are just facing one person. But, you know, kind of the crazy thing is half the teams in the state don't use huddles anymore.
Yes.
They kind of line up and look over at their coach and see a signal, and then they go. So, you know, expanding the coaches' boxes and the players' boxes to the 10-yard line, just kind of allows them to spread out a little bit more, and they employed that in the Shrine Bowl. And it was funny because we were asking Coach Beeson from the West about that pass interference play that ultimately ended up deciding the game and how good a look. He said, well, I got a better look than I would have because I was all the way down at the 10-yard line. I couldn't believe that nobody was yelling at me to get back. So, you know, I think that was interesting, you know, the ability to wear protective gear on the face and on the helmet, you know, is obviously something that I think they've put a lot of thought into and a lot of research into what the best thing to do there is and whether or not they can do that. You know, the interesting thing for cross country will be is if they go do away with the mass start, and go with the wave or interval starts, and, you know, starting runners at different times. I think that kind of makes it a little bit weird because, you know, a lot of the race is, hey, I'm going to pick off the person ahead of me. Well, if you're doing interval starts or wave starts, it kind of changes the dynamics of how the race is actually run. And I mean, there are schools that are really good at doing that kind of thing and having a pack mentality, and it's a lot harder to have a pack mentality when you're staggering starts of runners. But you know, for the most part, I thought the guidelines made sense. I thought there was a lot of good information there, and that it made it feasible to move forward if we're able to.
I know there's also the volleyball. They're talking about not large tournaments, but keep it to quads or less, which would be four teams at a quad,
right,
angular, and that makes sense to me as well. All right, so I think the big question a lot of people have right now is, all right, where do we go from here? Because nothing was determined for sure. I mean, as of now, sports practices are supposed to start on August the 17th, and I know Acacia is collecting information. They want to make a decision as soon as they can, so there's still some uncertainty. I think some people wanted them to make a decision right away yesterday. I agree with you. It's best to gather information and not make a knee-jerk reaction. So what's the plan for Acacia moving forward?
Well, I think the decisions by the Blue Valleys and the Olathes and the Casey Public Schools and the metro area over there to push everything back to September 9th. I think the thing that we're going to see is that just going to be school, or are they going to ban athletic practices during that time too? Because if a big chunk of those schools don't hold any kind of athletic practices and conditioning or workouts or anything like that, then I think Acacia is going to have a tough decision to make on how do we handle that. But the problem is a large percentage of the state, I think, a lot of your schools are going to be able to go mm-hmm. full bore on August 17th if they're allowed to. So right. I don't know what exactly we're going to see. I think you could see a thing where they could move forward with specific sports, and some other sports get an adjustment made to it. I think you could see 2 weeks of football season possibly lost as we try to accommodate the schools that are starting after Labor Day. You may just go right into district play and eliminate those first couple of weeks as schools try to get the conditioning and practices in that are necessary to start competition. So I think football is kind of a different animal than all the rest of them. So I think you could see, hey, golf, tennis, cross country, gymnastics, volleyball, you know, hey, you guys can proceed as normal. That we don't have great concerns about the contact there. Soccer, football, we might have a little bit more concerns about, you know, the proximity of athletes to each other in those sports. We might have to reevaluate those. So I still think there's just a lot of uncertainty because there's just still a lot of uncertainty on what the state's going to look like in a month.
Brent Maycock, Topeka Capital Journal, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Have you heard anything about possible fan requirements or limitations for sporting events?
You know, that wasn't something that was brought up, but I mean, I think it's a good idea to do a little bit of what the Shrine Bowl did, where, you know, they limited the number of fans that could come to the game. I know, you know, you get to the smaller schools, the seating isn't as conducive to spreading out fans. So, you'd have to look at how to handle that. I know a lot of, you know, you go to a lot of schools, people just stand around the football field, around, you know, a fence or a wire or whatever it is that surrounds the field. But, you know, I think the more you provide a good, safe environment, the better off you're going to be. So if that's a concession that needs to be made to allow some of these sports to take place, then I think that's something you have to look strong and hard at no matter where you're at. I mean, hey, if you want to play football in Hoxie and we need to do it with limited fans because a school in Olathe is going to need something like that in place in order for it to compete, then I think that's one of those greater good things, sacrifices that you have to make to have your sport be able to be played.
We focus a lot on the fall sports. We mentioned, you know, the possibility of maybe flipping season spring to fall, which doesn't sound very likely. which is fine with me one way or the other. But one thing that seems to get lost in this whole shuffle is the winter sports. And you've got basketball and wrestling. I mean, those are the two that stand out to me, certainly. Do you believe, like I, that those two sports have the smallest chance of happening of all the sports, whether it be fall, winter, or spring?
I think there's a definite concern about whether winter sports will be able to take place at all, because A, if the numbers keep trending and then you get into the winter season where you have more sickness anyway, I mean, you really could see a lot of things get shut back down or not being allowed to take place. So I think there is definitely some concern about whether winter sports will be able to occur, which would be another devastating blow for all those underclassmen who, were out at state and had their seasons ended prematurely and then maybe not get to start it. But I think anytime you're dealing with an indoor sport with indoor fans, I think there's definitely a greater concern there, because there's no place for the germs and stuff like that to go. I mean, you're confined into a space. And that's the one nice thing about fall sports, is that everything except volleyball is really outside. So you can kind of, we've been able to hold summer sports outside and with fairly good success. If you look at the clusters of outbreaks or whatever, they've been tied to MAYB tournaments, not youth baseball and softball tournaments. Mm-hmm. So I think there's definite concern, and I think you just haven't heard about it yet with what the plans and things for winter are, just because we're still trying to figure out how we're going to navigate this fall season, and let's handle that. But I'm sure the Activity Association is already, addressed that subject all summer about, hey, if this lingers on, what are we going to do? And I'm sure they've got some kind of plan in place to try to do whatever they can to make it happen if it's going to be feasible. But I'm with you. I'm guessing it's probably a 50-50 shot right about now.
And I think that would be probably optimistic. And I'm okay with being optimistic, but that's probably the high watermark for optimistic, 50-50. And, of course, we know that's a coin flip. The senior class, a lot of people feel sorry for, and I do. I experienced it covering Beloit, obviously. They were two wins away from their first ever state championship, worked so hard to get back there. That's just one example. There's obviously tons of schools that were close to winning a state title in basketball, and then all of a sudden the rug's pulled from out and underneath them. And so a lot of people felt sorry, or still do feel sorry, for the senior class for those things happening, not having spring sports. And I'm totally in that camp. However, last year's senior class might not be able to hold a candle to this year's senior class. This year's senior class may possibly not get to do hardly anything.
I agree.
That would be much worse than last year's senior class. At least they got to get a lot of stuff in. I know it doesn't make it any better that it abruptly stopped. They didn't have spring sports. But can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine you lose a whole year of competitions and one out of your 4 years in high school? That's 25% of your high school career gone.
Yeah, and for many athletes, that is the end. I mean, high school is the be-all, end-all for them. They're not going on to college. They're going to compete athletically. They're going on to college or going straight into the workforce. So, these are their end of their athletic careers. So, and the tough thing is the uncertainty. It's like, okay, I'm putting in all this work I usually put in to be the best I can be, and then, is it all going to be stripped away? I mean, it has to affect their level of dedication, I think, as well. I mean, why would I want to work so hard for something that's not even going to be there? So I think it's just an awful position for them all to be in, not knowing what it's going to look like. Knowing every one day you could wake up and they're going to say, I'm sorry, but, your season's gone, or I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to do this. And I just can't imagine what it's like for them and for those that are, if they do get to compete and go out and excel. I mean, what a tip of the cap you got to give to them for staying dedicated and staying, staying the course and still competing at as high of athletic level as they possibly can with that uncertainty that they've been going through.
Okay, so Keisha said, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I mean, when do you expect them to get together and make a decision on when practices start and this and that?
Yeah, I think it'll be Tuesday at the latest. I think it's going to happen either Monday or Tuesday. On the call yesterday, they said they would be able to do a really quick turnaround with this survey. And I'm guessing they've been in the superintendent's ears, pretty frequently, just trying to keep their finger on the pulse of what these superintendents and their school districts are thinking. So I think they'll be able to get a pretty good reaction and response from the survey to find out all the information they need to on that. And then I think they'll reconvene either Monday or Tuesday. I think Tuesday at the latest, just because of the timetable that we're on. This is, August is here next week. So I think they want to have something definitive. I mean, they want to have a plan in place and we go forward from that. And I think that's a good idea.
Unprecedented times. Okay, time for our off-the-wall question, something completely off the wall. I'm going to go back to something you said early on. I wasn't planning on asking this question, but you said that you helped homeschool when school abruptly had to stop there in the middle of March. So your off-the-wall question, Brent, is what subject do you absolutely, positively know you should stay away from that you will not be helpful one iota for your kid? You're like, dude, I'm out. I can't help you on this one.
TikTok videos.
That's a subject? TikTok videos are a subject?
It seems to be nowadays. I feel pretty well-rounded. I'm not trying to brag or anything. I graduated third in my high school class, so I feel like I'm pretty well-rounded in about any subject you throw my way. I think the hardest part is just getting the child to stay on task, learning from a parent who they're so used to rolling their eyes at or mm-hmm. not listening until about the 10th time you tell them something. So I envy those teachers for being able to do what they do and handle kids in the way they handle them. I know my daughter thrives in a in-school setting. She is great when she goes to school. We go and get reports from her teachers, and they just tell us how well she does and how helpful and everything like that. And we're like, this is our daughter, right? And so, but any subject I feel pretty comfortable in. Art, probably not. I don't think I could draw a stick man with a ruler. But other than that, maybe singing. I can't carry a tune.
That's why you write for a living.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Hey, tell everybody how they can read your work and stay on top of what's going on. I know you're on social media and, of course, in the paper and everything else. So let everybody know how you can they can read your work.
Yeah. For the Cap Journal, our website is cjonline.com. And then you can just click on sports, and I'm there. And on Twitter, it's CockyHawk91. So I usually tweet out, yesterday I had a pretty good roll going, and some people liked it, some people didn't, but it was able to foster conversation, and I have an opinion, everybody else has an opinion, and as long as you don't, completely trash one another for your opinions, I mean, everybody's entitled to one, and if you just have respect to hey, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, that's fine, I'm not going to think other of you because of that. You can carry on and have good conversations. So, cjonline.com and CockyHawk91.
Sounds fantastic. Brent, good to talk to you again. And hopefully next time I'm talking with you, we're talking about what's happening on the field or on the court. Thanks for your time today, and we'll continue to follow you and stay updated on what takes place with Keisha and high school athletics in the near future.
Absolutely. Hopefully it's a post game in Centralia sometime.
That would be awesome. And I'll stop right there.
That's an entirely new segment.
That's a whole new show, my friend. A whole new show. Oh my goodness! It's hard to believe it was that long ago when we were there for that. But that was a memorable night, at least for most of us, anyway.
Exactly.
It was a great time. Thanks, Brent. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys too.
All right. That's Brent Maycock at Topeka Capital Journal, our guest today on The Sports Ticket.